جی سو السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ٹو بی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ. سو ان اینی اسلامک اسٹیٹ وین یو گاٹ این اسلامک گورنمنٹ رائٹ اے خلیفہ دیٹ از رولنگ این اسلامک اسٹیٹ سو دا سسٹم دیٹ از یوزڈ از اے سسٹم آف شورا. You have a shura, you don't have a democratic system where majority vote. There's no, in a democratic system, even in your parliament, if you have to pass some ruling or whatever, so now it will be majority, what the majority said. If the majority voted in favor, so you must do it. If the majority favored against, then you don't do it. So everything is about the majority vote. Who must be the president? Majority vote. Who must be the local councillor? Majority vote. Everything is about the majority vote. Right? Whereas, it's a known fact that majority of people are ignorant. Majority of people are ignorant of how... They may not be ignorant in totality. You see, all of us are ignorant. For example, give me an engine and tell me to fix it. I'm ignorant now. I don't know how to fix an engine. Right? Now, take a motor car mechanic, right? Give him the engine. Now he knows what to do there. Right? But now, give him Aqidatul Tahawi and tell him now, make hal of the Ibarat. Now he's ignorant. So everybody is ignorant. So when you have to decide on a matter, you can't have the majority voting. You have to have a shura. So the people who will be in that shura are all people who understand the complexity of that situation. So you appoint them as the shura. Now they will decide. Then there will be an Amir in that Shura. The Amir's decision will be final. Even if the Shura consists of 10 people and each person in the Shura gave a different Rai, right? Or all of them gave a unanimous Rai in the whole Shura. Everyone gave the same Rai, right? But the Amir, he can decide differently. No problem. He's the Amir. So for example, if we have to have Mashwara now, in this class now we have Mashwara, and I'm the Amir of the Shura. So the Mashwara is about what time should we get off today. So number one, I'm having the Mashwara with the wrong people. Isn't it? Because you people, majority, will just be worried about their nafs. You will get off. Right? We get off, so I think we should finish off class at 8:30, isn't it? But now, if I want to make mashwara about something like that, then the right people to talk to will be the asatiza. Because they understand now, hey, how much sabak we have to do, how many periods, how much time. The students will just worry about getting chutti. End of the year when the kitab is not finished, then they'll start getting pareshan. But all the times they ask for chutti, that they forgot about. See, like the general public, they say, no, we must have public holiday, public holiday, public holiday. End of the month, when the owner of the store can't pay their salaries, then they'll become pareshan. Then they say, now let's toy now. But now, how is the man, you making so many public holidays, how is he going to now make the money to pay your salaries? If you ask the general masses, how many public holidays should we have in a month? They say, I think every week we should have one. Every week we should have one. And you must still get paid. Yeah, I must still get paid also. Because to them, it's just a holiday. But now ask the owners of the stores. I said, no, we can't have. How are we going to pay the salaries? So when you're making a mashwara, you have to have a shura. And the people in the shura, they have to understand the workings, the complexity, the advantages, the disadvantages of that particular thing that we're discussing. Right? Now, for example, this plumbing work now, I can't have that mashura with the ustads, but they know about plumbing. They ignorant about plumbing. So now I have to have mashura with the architect, with the engineer, with the builder, with the plumber. What's the best way now to do this thing? So that will be your mashwara there. Understand? So in the mashwara, in your shura, you must have the right people, number one. Right? And number two, you have an amir. And the amir's decision is final. That's how a mashwara works. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif instructs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And in another place Allah Ta'ala says, describing the Muslims, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. How they decide their matters is through consultation, through mashwara. So Uthman radiallahu an also established a shura council for his state, composed of the senior sahaba radiallahu anhu, the muhajirun, the ansar. Right? Uthman radiallahu an made a request of the governors and the commanders when he was the khalifa now. So he made this request to the governors and the commanders. He said to them, continue as you were working in the time of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. Don't change anything. Same like how you were working in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, continue working like that. Whatever decision you want to take, refer it to us. And we will gather the ummah for consultation, then we'll give you an answer. Not just check what the majority people want to do and do. No. They say, if you got any idea, you want to change something, you want to do something, forward it to us. Now this shura council will sit. And we will decide the matter. Once we have an answer for you, we will tell you whether to do it, whether not to do it. That is how it works. Mashwara. So his commanders committed themselves to this. So whenever they wanted to launch a campaign, meaning they want to go on an offensive jihad, or they want to make any advances, they are in a jihad, and now they feel, no, I think we should proceed. Right? See, in jihad, it's not just about going and fighting. Right? Jihad is something, lot of preparation is required. Lot of preparation is required. And then, you have to wait for the right mauka. You have to wait for the right opportunity. So you have to be able to read the field and get the right opportunity to strike. Otherwise, most of the time you'll be at a loss. If your preparation is not right and you don't choose the right time, you know, the right mauka, the right occasion, you'll be at a loss. So if you see, I'm not talking in favor or against, right? But this Ashara in Syria, the current ruler of Syria, the one who led the Mujahideen to victory and overthrew the Assad Shi'i regime. Right? Now when he came into power, myself also, right? Many people upset that this fellow now, he came into power. Now, what is he in the office for now? He took out all his jihad clothes, he put suit and tie, and now he is sitting in the office, going everywhere and waving, parading with his wife and sunglasses and making tata for everybody and all that. But you're supposed to be in a battlefield. What you doing? Gaza, Muslims are dying there. What you doing here? Right? But Allah alone knows what is his plan, if he has a plan. That's what I'm saying. I'm not speaking for or against. Only Allah knows. Right? We have husne zan and carry on. Right? But so far, he's been very strategic. You see, after the fall of the Assad regime, he got three problems. in the country. One is ISIS. ISIS has integrated itself within the communities. They don't have like a stronghold anywhere, but they have integrated themselves into the community. Every now and again, they use guerrilla tactics. Right? That's ISIS, so that's one problem. Second problem is a PKK, who is also known as the SDF. They were always called the PKK. So this group here, they have taken control of portion of Syria. They got like their own government, their own army, their own this thing. They're ruling their own place there in Syria, the PKK. They were backed by America. Right? America arms them, America protects them, America had a base there, military base where the PKK are. They are a thorn in the side of Turkey because the area that they took of Syria is between Turkey and Syria. Turkey from long time, they want them out. But now because Turkey is part of NATO, America is part of NATO, so Turkey can't do much. Because now America got its base there. Then we got the Druze. The Druze are the biggest problem. The Druze, they don't know what they are. From a religion point of view. They got like a funny, heavy kind, Allah protect us, right? But they believe some heavy, heavy beliefs they got, right? They're like a mixture of Hinduism, Shiism, Judaism, everything. It's like a mix up, sab kuch andar, maskan andar, right? So now, these people, they are ruling the area between Syria and Palestine. That border, they are there. Right? Now they too got their own government, they got their own military, they got all their own things. They are funded and supported by Israel. Because this is a buffer zone. When Israel wants to come and do raids in Syria, they come through the Druze territory. Syria can't go and attack Israel because Israel got a buffer here. You have to first go through the Druze. Right? So now, so far, he's been wise. Right? He made friends with America. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that is left to be seen. But his strategy seems to be working, right? He made friends with America. America don't want ISIS. We also don't want ISIS. So he used America to get rid of ISIS. So every now and again, American special forces, they're coming, they're killing some ISIS people or they're arresting some ISIS people. So the community can't fight with him. See, he needs the confidence of the community, right? So he mustn't look bad now in the eyes of the community because this community was very fragmented, right? He has managed to now bring majority of them under one rule. Now, he can't afford to fragment it. So, on the one side, he say, no, hey, sabko saath lekar chalna, tablighi mizaj, everybody is coming. Now, America got a problem with ISIS. They're coming here and taking out the ISIS people. But they're cleaning his weeds, right? In his backyard, ISIS is getting weeded out, right? So, that's one strategy which seems to be working. Then, because he became friends with America, so America don't need the PKK anymore. Right? PKK is now just an expense for nothing. We can have our base here in Syria now. We don't need them. We're talking to the president of Syria now. Right? So, he came out with the story that ISIS is hiding in PKK territory. Right? So now, he has overthrown the PKK. They have defeated the PKK, which is now called, today's time is called SDF. Right? So that area now has come under Syrian rule. So that is, the PKK is, majority of it is out. Right? So they don't have, but now what he did, the language that they speak, right? He included it as a national language of Syria. Like, no, 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 we are including your, you know, we got no problem with the community. You see, community, all they worry about is their bread. You'll get a few individuals that got a takaz. I mean, they got an objective. They got a mission. The rest of them, we just want our bread. Long as we get our bread, we safe, we happy. Whether you ruling us, he's ruling us, or he's ruling us, we got no problem. Right? Long as we safe. So he's offering them security, safety, we'll integrate you. You stay under one rule of Syria. Right? So that was the easier one to get rid of, the PKK. So his strategy seemed to have worked. Right? Without getting flak from America, he got rid of them. Right? So if that was his strategy, then he's a good strategist. Right? He's got a pop for battle, for military. No, you don't just go and start fighting and shooting and all that. You got to think. And the time must be right. Time must be right. Now what he's going to do with the Druze, I don't know. It's left to be seen. How he overcomes this Druze problem. But so far, whatever he's doing seems to be working. Right? Allah Ta'ala may be, you know, blessing him. The wrongs that he's doing, which is against the Shariat, that we cannot condone. Everybody has their weaknesses. We can't condone that. Right? But on the other hand, they're passing some wonderful laws also. Shari laws. Like last week, they passed a law. No, you see, Syria must understand now, it's coming from a Shi'i background, right? So there's not much deen. And the Ahlul Sunnah who were living there, they were suppressed. And a war for so many years. Now we're going to have maktab and madrasa and all that. So here and there, they had one hipsters going, one maktab going, one madrasa going. But generally, there is jahalat. People don't know how to read Quran Sharif. They don't know basic Muslim science. Now slowly, they are establishing madrasas, makatib. Now where the mujahideen were, in the north, where was their stronghold? There are many madrasas and all that. Right? Girls madrasas, boys madrasas, youth classes, everything. But now in the rest of the country where the Shias were ruling and all that, it's like a modern, you know what I mean, like a normal modern kafir country. Right? So now, slowly they're bringing deen. Right? So last week they passed the rule, no lady who's working in a public office, because ladies are working in all offices, the ladies are working everywhere and everything there. So no lady who's working in a public place can wear makeup. Now it's a baby step, right? But you can see in which direction they're going. So she can't wear makeup and dress up like in a provocative manner, like, you know. Now slowly from there, inshallah, they'll come to Parda one day. Now we'll say he should be like an Umar, right? And same time, bring the Sharia. That is the right way. Right? But now, Allah knows what is his challenges and whatever. But the one law they're passing this way, that way, you can see it's going like in the direction of Sharia. So we keep making dua, you know. Allah Ta'ala guide him, Allah inspire him, and the whole country and us also. But like, we only got Afghanistan that has got Sharia law. Right? The other country you must watch closely is Burkina Faso. Right? That fellow, Ibrahim Traoré, he is the ruler of the country. So he also is doing some wonderful things. All the foreign countries that were mining all their local minerals and all, threw them all out. All the salaries of the people in government, chopped it. All the the widows, you know, they get grants and all that from the government. He increased it. Right? Now, the last thing he did now, last week, he got rid of all political parties. Right? So once you get rid of political parties, that means you're getting rid of democracy. Now, the West will call it dictatorship. They will call it dictatorship. But that's how you rule in Islam. You have one Amir, one Khalifa. He's not a dictator. He establishes the law of Allah Ta'ala. He can't make his own laws. He has to rule by the law of Allah Ta'ala. He's not a dictator. He's a Khalifa. So, actually, the economy of the country is coming up. The economy of the country is coming up. They are free of debt. They don't owe any debt. They are debt free now. Right? Now the World Bank offered him, about a month back, they offered him a loan. He said, keep your money. We don't want your money. But as soon as you take a loan, you see, if you read the history, the Jews, they were a minority in Arabia. How come they had so much of clout for them to borrow people money on interest? So you owing them money, now you can't fight with them. That's what the bank said to me. The World Bank is doing it to countries. The smaller banks are all linked to them. They all work on the same system. The Jews own the banking system. That's how they got so much of clout in the whole world. They are a minority. But why America jumps for them, UK jumps for them? One is they're all on Shaitan's side. The other is they think their power is in money. Their power is in money. Understand? That's why Allah Pak made riba haram. Once you get into riba, you enslave yourself. You make yourself a slave. So that's how that minority Jews, they managed to have such a sway over the Arabs, because they were lending them money on interest. Understand? So Ibrahim Tarawar, the World Bank offered him loan now for his country, because he's debt free now. He turned it down. So we don't need your money. We don't want your money. And he's steering the country in the right direction. Now, so many times they tried to assassinate him. They're trying to put him away. But Allah Pak is protecting him so far. So now, if you get like that one country in Africa, and if they bring Sharia, and then you got Taliban there, they got majority Sharia, right? And if Syria come onto Sharia, then we're getting somewhere. Currently, nothing. The Arab countries, all they're let down. They got so much of power, so much of wealth, right? But consumed with nafsani desires. Or whether they're Muslim, Allah knows. Which side they're on, only Allah knows. Because you can't understand, like, their laws, their values, think, man. Your own Muslim brothers, sisters here, they're being massacred by these people, and you in bed with them. Just doesn't make sense. So Allah alone knows what is the haqiqat. So Usman radiallahu anh, his commanders, etc., they had to follow this system, right? He would assemble the Sahaba, make decisions, then proper preparations, arrangements, etc. would be made, and then permission would be given to go ahead. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarh, he wrote to Uthman radiallahu anh, asking him for permission. This is important to us, because see how Deen came to Africa, right? So he sought permission to penetrate deeper into Africa. Because the islands belonging to the Byzantines were close to the Muslims. Uthman radiallahu anh gave him permission for that after consulting others. And he urged the people to join them. Right? So when Muawiyah radiallahu anh, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anh, when he wanted to conquer the islands of Cyprus, you see, this was the first navy fleet of the Muslims. Muslims never have a navy. Right? So Muawiyah radiallahu anh, he wanted to conquer the islands of Cyprus and Rhodes. So he did the same thing. He consulted the leaders of the central command, He asked them for permission. The answer did not come until Usman radiallahu anh held a shura council. Held a shura council, he discussed the issue, and then he gave them permission. The commanders of the Khadif, all the commanders of Usman radiallahu anh, used to make mashura with one another. Every small decision, you can't wait now. You need to make a decision now in the heat of battle. Tomorrow, how are we going to attack? What are we going to do? That's your day-to-day workings. So that they will make mashura amongst themselves. Big decisions, they'll send it to Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he would consult the senior sahaba. For example, now in the masta of the compilation of the Quran Sharif came. Right? So now they meet that senior sahaba, shura council had to sit and decide. And then from there they made the decision to go ahead. One of the aims, so now justice and equality. One of the aims of Islamic rule is to lay the foundations of the Islamic system which will establish a Muslim society. A Muslim society following Islam. Not a Muslim society following the ways of the kuffar. Among the most important of these foundations are justice and equality. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu wrote to the people in the region saying, engage in Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. But that's the only way you're going to keep the Islamic spirit alive. Right? You've got to keep inviting towards good, prohibiting evil. No believer should subject himself to humiliation. For I will be with the weak against the strong, so long as the weak has been wronged. In other words, I won't tolerate zulm. There must be justice. Whether a person come from a wealthy family, a poor family, whatever the color of his skin, whatever language he talks, whether he's Arab, whether he's non-Arab, there must be equality across the board. If anybody is oppressed, then I will stand with those weak people. I will stand with those oppressed people against the oppressor. His policy was based on justice in its most sublime form. He carried out hudud. You know all the hudud, cutting the hand of a chor, lashing the person who committed zina, unmarried, married person stoned to death, etc. So all these hudud, he carried it out. So he carried out the had punishment even on the governor of Kufa, Walid bin Uqba, who was his brother from his mother. They had different fathers, same mother. Right? But he carried out the had even on him. This was his justice. Right? It was Walid bin Uqba, when witnesses testified that he had drank alcohol. This whole incident will come later on. But just to mention briefly, that when it was proven, then he carried out the had on him and he removed him from his post also. Removed him from his post. And he then put Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu in his post. But because the people of Kufa, they were not too happy with Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So then he appointed Sa'id bin Al-As. Sa'id bin Al-As as the successor to Walid. It was also narrated that he got angry with a servant of his one day and he pulled, twisted the ear. That night, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep that night and he called the servant to the room and he told the servant, you twist my ear. The servant refused to obey. But Usman radiallahu anhu insisted. He said, you can't make me maaf. You twist my ear. Take your revenge. The servant wanted to make him maaf. He said, no, no, it's okay. He said, no, no, you twist my ear. And he made that servant twist his ear. So even on himself, he made sure justice. You hear people talking about freedom. What is freedom? The principle of freedom is one of the basic principles on which rule was based at the time of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. According to this principle, all civil liberties are to be guaranteed to all people within the framework of Islamic Sharia and in such a way that they do not contradict it. Right? The Islamic call for freedom for all people is a comprehensive call, the like of which is very rare in history. At the time of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, civil liberties such as we know them today were guaranteed and protected, such as religious freedom. Today you don't have religious freedom. They say religious freedom. They say you got religious freedom. But they give you religious freedom according to their lopsided understanding. We don't have religious freedom. Can we carry out hudud? We can't. Now they want to subject our nikahs also to their laws. When COVID comes, they tell us, no, we can't go in masjid to read namaz. So what religious freedom we got? Yes, we do have more freedom than maybe other countries. But we do not have total religious freedom. The only time we would have total religious freedom is if we are ruled by a khalif who is ruling according to Sharia. So religious freedom, freedom of movement. Today you don't have freedom of movement. If you want to go, now if I want to go to Dubai, can I just go? I can't go. I got no freedom of movement. Forget Dubai. I want to go Swaziland. I can't go. No freedom of movement. Then right to safety. There's no right to safety. The criminals get away with murder, literally. Somebody come to hold you up, you shoot him dead, you in a problem. He came to hold you up. You sitting in your house nicely, he came to hold you up in your house. Now they want to know, but why did you have to use that force? Now you must go to court, get one lawyer, spend money and prove to them that you were within your right to use that force. Different thing if the court was free, like in the Islamic state. The Qazi is there, free. Because they want the court case, so it's free the court case must be. Yeah, you must get one lawyer and one advocate and don't know who and who. How much money people have to spend? So you don't even have a right to safety. The sanctity of your home is not there. Freedom of ownership. Freedom of opinion. I mean, if I legally bought a car from Swaziland, I legally, I paid for it, it belongs to him, he sold it to me legally. No, 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 you can't drive that thing, yeah? Isn't it? Asked Hazrat Ji, will tell me. I asked his father, I said, no man. Is it worth it? He said, why not? Headache. It's a headache, this thing. Police is going to catch you there. Then you want this paper, that paper. Then they want to impound the car. But you bought the car with your own money. Bought a proper deal. You got papers, everything. No? Not allowed? So there's no freedom. They lie to us. They lie to us that we are free. There's no freedom. Freedom of opinion, freedom of ownership. We in Islam, you see, you got all your freedom as long as it is within the framework of the Shariat, not the framework of another human being. The framework that Allah Ta'ala has stipulated. Within that framework, you are free. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.